Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit the website at friendsofkevin.com. So excited I got my buddy Jack Wang with us today from Longhorn Financial. Just as always, guys, please remember Jack's joining the show for informational purposes. This is not financial advice. Always seek a qualified financial person before you make any decisions in life. Hey, Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin, thank you. Always for education, right? Not advice. Education. Always. You got to educate first.
Well, and today we're going to get right into it because I want to talk about the CARES Act today because there's some stuff in there that's going to address student debt and for those kids who are about to go into college. So how does this all impact student debt? What are some of the major provisions that will hopefully help people?
Yeah, so the CARES Act, if people aren't necessarily familiar with the name, it's the stimulus package that was recently passed by the federal government, but specifically the provisions for colleges and student debt. So some really big ones. So for people with federal student debt, so where they borrowed from the federal government, now this could be on the students themselves or it could be their parents, depending on the borrower, but basically it's 0% interest until September 30th, right? So it's several months. And on top of that, payments are deferred from now until September 30th of 2000 as well. So it's a pretty big deal because this was just sort of a sweeping change that was made. So those are the ones. I do have to say the federal loans, so years and years ago, these haven't been around for a while, but years ago there was actually something called an FFEL or Federal Family Education Loan. And those are essentially loans paid by private banks, but backed by the government versus the loans are directly from the federal government. So the FFEL loans that may still be out there, those are not part of this program unless they are held directly by the federal government, which there were a portion of. So so for those people who are in school years ago and might have an FFEL loan, those provisions are, that I just mentioned, the zero interest and no payments doesn't necessarily apply to them. They would have to call their particular lender to find out. But more recently, the direct loans, the plus loans, those do fall under the program, I should say.
So, Jack, now do people with the federal loans need to call their servicer to ask for this, or does it happen automatically?
No, and that's the nice part. This was a blanket change made by the federal government. So the servicers are applying these changes, and they're applying them retroactively, I think, to like March 12th or something like that. So people do not call the need, those with the federal loans do not call the need to ask for these changes to go through. Having said that, there's stories out there where people did call their servicer anyway or check their servicer's website and it doesn't say anything about it. Probably at this point, it probably does. But for a while there, people are saying, wait a second. My servicer doesn't say anything about this. Well, because, this was announced suddenly, right, this package. So the servicer's a while for their agent to get trained, for the information to get up on the website and stuff. So if for some reason your servicer doesn't have this on their website or you call them and they're like, hey, we don't know about this, just be patient. Give it time. It'll be there. Promise. When you roll out a program of this magnitude, just take time. Now, keep in mind, by the way, that student loans do not fall under these provisions, so that is a whole other ballgame.
So now, Jack, what about those who were expecting to have their loans forgiven under one of the existing loan forgiveness programs? How is this going to impact them?
Yeah, so under the original negotiations for this CARES Act package, some discussions around potentially forgiving some level of federal student loans, right? Like, I think that there's a number around 10,000. That part did not get put into the legislation. However, if you have federal student loans and you were on for a loan forgiveness program like the public service loan forgiveness, the interesting thing about this is that for the next several months, even though no payments are required, and even if you don't make the payments, right, so you just take advantage of it and just don't send in any money, but the next couple of months will still count as if you made the payments anyway towards the payment requirement in that public service forgiveness program, which is really interesting because, you know, they're basically treating it as if you sent in the money, but you really didn't. So it's a nice feature if you're going for a particular loan forgiveness program.
So, Jack, you mentioned private loans. How's this going to impact private loans?
Yeah, so private loans, because they're private, right, they're direct from banks or credit union or wherever, these provisions, this law did not apply to them. So what each person has to do if you have private loans, and particularly in some cases the private loans came directly from a college or university itself, you want to make sure the best bet is to, number one, is call the lender. Right. So what that bank, that credit union, whatever it is, and just ask them if there's any programs right now for those. You know, will they, you know, waive payments or anything like that due to the current crisis situation? Many of the private lenders do have deferment or forbearance programs automatically. The terms are all different. So the key is if you call to ask them to hold payments, just make sure you understand what you're actually getting into, right? Not in a bad way, but just sort of, you know, a lot of these private lenders have these deferred programs that if you lost your job, you know, we'll waive your payments for 12 months or something like that. So now in this current crisis situation, if you ask to waive your payments for the next 3 months, do the next 3 months count as the overall 12 months that were already part of the program, right? So that when this is all over, you only have 9 months left for anything else to happen, or is this a totally separate consideration, right? So you take the next 3 months off, let's say, of payment, but you still have an additional 12 months of the original program that's in there, or 12 or 24 or whatever they offer, right? Are there any fees to go into this? So some lenders, I hear more on the credit card side that, hey, you want to defer your payment, but we're going to need like a one-time fee for you, for us to put you into this program. It doesn't happen often, but just check. And while you're not making payments, would any interest charges accrue? So on the federal side, it doesn't matter because the interest rate right now is zero anyway, so no interest would accrue. But that's not true on the private loan side. So if your interest rate was 8% or whatever, is that interest clock still ticking away for the next 3 months or however many months that you don't have payment? And also, will they extend it for a period of time or have to pay each month, right? So I recommend that you have to make that phone call. It's worth it. Just find out. But just find out about these details so you really understand how it works.
So, Jack, let's switch gears to families whose kids are about to go to college. What are some of the major provisions for them in the CARES Act? Is there any?
Yeah, for kids who are about to go to college, there's actually very few provisions in the CARES Act because they're not in college yet, right? So if your kid's not in college yet, the whole student really doesn't apply to them. However, for parents who are about to send their kid to college, whether, you know, this coming fall or the next fall, where, you know, the fact that this happened should really have to think about how to finance education, because with federal student loans, and granted, you know, not everybody should take on loans if they don't have to or whatever, but a few of those families that will ultimately need some sort of loans, federal student loans, in my opinion, is a heck of a lot more attractive, right, with this happening. in these sort of situations or natural situations, the federal government said, you know what, for the next however many months, zero interest, boom, done, right, just like that, whereas that doesn't happen with private loans. So if you had the choice, again, not saying that this is what you should do, but if you have the choice and you were kind of fence, do I borrow from a bank or do I borrow from the federal government, borrowing the federal government looks a whole lot better now. Obviously, we don't hope that there's pandemics again, but, you know, but if there should be, it looks a lot better than private loans.
So, Jack, what about money saved for college, like in a 529 plan? Any changes there?
No real changes in the CARES Act. However, this does matter in this day and age. Is actually the Secure Act, which was passed at the end of the year, which wasn't that long ago. Seems like an eternity ago. Where up to $10,000 of 529 plan money can be used for loan repayment for your student. It's one time, you know, lifetime limit. It's not $10,000 a year. But that change came as a result of the Secure Act. The other thing that is really coming out now, actually something called the PATH Act, which was actually passed back in 2015 under the Obama administration. And there was a provision that if you get a refund from the school, right, because your kid didn't finish the semester, you know, kind of like carrying out doing with room and board because kids couldn't stay on campus, under that act, it does allow you to take the money that you originally taken out from 529 to pay for college. Now that you've gotten a refund, you can put it back into the 529 plan because you need to, as far as you want to. So that was really a provision, kind of a little known provision, because nothing like happened on this kind of scale.
So, Jack, one of the things that we're going to see now is there may be a lot of parents who are getting ready to write their check for their son or daughter to go to college next semester who have lost their jobs and may be like, I don't know if I'm comfortable sending this money in because I don't know if I'm going to have a job in a couple months. What do you think is going to happen there?
Yeah, you know, as we talk to people, you know, two parents both working, they're paying, let's say, $20,000 or $25,000 for the kid's school, $20,000 or $25,000. Now, you know, both parents are out of work. $25,000 a year is a lot bigger deal than it was just a month ago. So it's a really hard choice. I mean, the money. To college, but again, just because you can doesn't mean you should. That option is there. One option that parents may want to look at is the community college. They start and transfer on to.
So, Jack, we only have about a minute left. Why don't we grab your contact information before we let you run? All right, Jack. I appreciate you calling to the show. And as always, thanks for being my friend.